Media Network.
Stand by to receive our transmission.
It's Roast with J.M. Bell and Tom. They're your Roastmasters.
That's us.
Sir.
That's us.
It's us. That means it's us and J.M. Bell.
Yeah. Masters of the Roast.
Yes. Masters of the Roast. The only ones. The only ones you'll have in the entire country. Maybe the entire world. Now, this is our end of the year. Year of the end. What a shitty year it is.
It was, so you know what? I was at the grocery store a little earlier.
Okay.
And it's just getting your regular run-of-the-mill groceries.
Albertsons or Safeway? Oh, what are you talking here?
Winco.
you know who designed that logo?
Was it you?
Mm-hmm.
That's beautiful. I've always liked that logo.
Thank you. I was out of my mind. My firstborn was just born. I had no time to do anything. I did a number of submissions, and they finally took one. Oh, my God. It was like, okay, well, you know, at least it's from the ATF, HDF Type Foundry.
You know.
So I was like, like, okay, at least the typography is okay.
It's like a fat Helvetica italicized.
Yeah, it's called Sumo, Heavy Sumo. It's from the HDF Type Foundry, and it's like this big, big blocky typeface you would expect to find in like boxing posters and stuff. So I'd done a number of permutations, some with, you know, like, you know, shapes and forms and, you know, all kinds of things. And, you know, I mean, because you're doing what used to be Cub Foods, and now it's, you know, something brand new. And I was like, come on, let's break the mold here. So if you're in the West, or if you're in Texas or Nevada, you'll know Winco.
Or Utah.
That's right. Utah. That's,
we have three or four now. So I'm at the Winco, and I've got some meats, some bulk meats, pork carnitas meat.
That's good.
Chicken quarters. A turkey roast, which is on sale because it was never frozen and needs to be cooked now. Because I didn't cook anything for the holiday season.
Right.
And that's all coming through. And then at the end, there's a small box of cookies and a box of Cheez-Its, which is my snack of preference, Cheez-Its.
Mm.
And the lady across from me, a very nice Hispanic lady, who was also bagging her groceries, said, so getting ready for a big, you know, New Year's Eve party. And I said, no, I'm just grocery shopping. And she's like, oh, okay. And I guess that looking at my Cheez-Its made her think I was having a fucking party. I don't know. So, you know, we chatted amiably for a minute. She says, so what do you think? Is next year going to be better than this year? And I said, lady, if Donald Trump's still our fucking president, no, it's not. And you could see this wash of relief go through her, because I mean, you've seen pictures of me. I'm 6'4". I weigh 270 right. pounds. I wear a cowboy right. hat. I've got a right, right now. I have pretty much a biker's beard. I haven't had a job interview in so long. I haven't bothered trimming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, you know, me saying that just really made her far more comfortable. And she's like, yeah, I'm not going to get too optimistic. And I'm like, well, I still want you to have a really, really good year.
That's wonderful.
She said, thanks so much. You have a great night. And I'm like, yep, keep my expectations low. And no, so, and then I took my groceries and I left, but I forgot my milk. And by the time I realized I'd forgotten my milk, they were done, and they brought it out into the parking lot looking for me. It was very, very nice. So it's,
that's awesome.
It's already a better year.
It's already a better year. And, my 18th, my the 18th, 18th birthday of my youngest was yesterday. So fortunately they took off. they just came back. So it's like, okay, I guess we didn't have to deal with that.
Everybody well behaved.
Everybody was well behaved. They took off and they rampaged Seattle. So I heard that everything was okay. They are fine.
Yeah.
Everything is just fine. There you have it.
I think you're supposed to wait till the end of the drum roll. So let's see. Before we go, now let me set up the premise. We both have some I don't think the most important things or the most crushing things, but things of interest that happened during the year of 2018 that are at least in some way have triggered us as significant moments or significant events. And we're going to go through a few of those, each of us, over the next, you know, hour or so. I don't know if you noticed or not, but not getting around to doing news on the show a couple days ago.
Yeah,
I went an hour and a half. That was pretty cool.
We went an hour and a half. Holy cow. We talked about everything.
Everything but news. Yeah. And so, but first, though, you know, as a treat for the listeners who really want to know if we could be more personal.
Just write us with your name. Write us with your name and let us know. And we'll read your birthday on the air.
You bet. But, you know, it's because, you know, there. I wonder if these two will ever share a private thought or moment. Yeah, because we really keep it together. But was there any one or two big significant things that happened in 2018 that have changed the course or direction that you thought your life was going?
Personally.
Yeah, if you want.
Personally, yeah, I can definitely talk about that. My teenage oldest it came out as transgender.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's a big
what
deal.
Was interesting was we had drinks last night with another family that we know that my oldest is friends with, their kid, and their kid has just come out to them as transgender.
Wow.
So I would have to say, as a parent, I think people need to remember that as kids become adults, this is their life. And you will go through a variety of emotions. But I think if you can get to acceptance, it's going to help tremendously for the child.
And if you can't right away, fake it till you make it.
Can't fake it till you make it. Don't get high on your own supply. And better check yourself before you wreck yourself. Because this is all about their life. And I think that the important thing to remember is if your child has made a significant life decision, it's important that, especially if it's constructive, and in this case it's vital. This is something it is a significant turning point for the rest of their life.
Yeah.
So, you know, listen carefully. Put aside, you know, because it's not about you.
Well, and you don't want to go with your initial panic. Mm-hmm. You got to go back. I went back. I mean, my kid was, 11, you know, when he came out to us.
Right.
And my reaction was, oh, okay. Well, you know, it's good you figured out who you are. But I was in the middle of moving some heavy furniture at the time. It was a hell of a weird time to tell me. And you know, that's what it was. Now, inside, and over the next couple of years, as I developed fear and paranoia, you know, I mean, there were a lot of thoughts, and there's still a lot of fear. And that belongs to me. It needs to just stay shut the fuck up. And I can give the kid advice, and I can do my best to guide him on the path that he's on, even though I only have sympathies, you know. I can't empathize with it. I don't feel it. I don't know it. You know, the closest I can come is I was a redhead in a grade school in the 80s, you know, and that was pretty ostracizing. But for the most part, it's just like, here's what to watch out for, and here's how to know how people are. The life lessons you're going to teach, you just have to be a little bit more upfront about it, a little more honest than you would be, because the life path that they're on, while important and what was the word you used just now?
Well, was I going to get to the five stages of grief? Because you do.
Yeah.
You've invested in, you know, your entire life with deal with them in their identification. And Here's the other thing too. Children have secrets. Children have their secret life. They have their life that they're going to have with you, but they have that life that they're going to share with their most intimate friends or other siblings, or, you know, and there are things you're going to come to find out. That's the same thing with anybody, and especially with kids. And it, although they're asked, you know, you're asked, didn't you see it coming? Couldn't you see it coming? Of course not. Of course you couldn't. Of course you couldn't. You knew they were miserable. You knew they were unhappy, but they are immensely far much more happy. And it's important. Acceptance is an important thing. Of course, you have to go through the, you know, the shock, you know, the anger, bargaining, depression, all that other stuff until you get to acceptance. I don't know why. I mean, maybe I'm sublimating and I haven't processed it properly yet.
Sure.
But it was like, this is your life. This is not about me. And all I want you to do is to be happy, happy, whole with yourself, and live the kind of life where you do things you don't think you can do. And this is certainly one of them. You're a trailblazer. Certainly, I can't think of anybody else in my family who has even come close to even being anything like this.
Yeah.
Because if you think about it, maybe I've had, I mean, maybe there have been individuals like this in family past who just didn't have that courage. And here's the other thing. Here's the other thing, Jeff, is the fact that you and your the mom, okay, you're good parents because your kid had the faith in you to tell you the truth. You raised them so that they could trust you, and well, they are trusting you.
You know, I hope so. And it was, I remember distinctly that it was coming up on his birthday, and I think that it was the, oh shit, I'm going to get more girl stuff. and I, because there's got to be an impetus, there has to be a trigger. Obviously, you know, the kid had enough going, you know, with my ex that he felt he could come out to her first, and then they came to me, which is fine, and I totally understand that. You know, it's when kids have an issue, they go to the parent that's been at home the most. And in our place, we both kind of worked from home for several years, but I was in the basement, she was upstairs, so she was the first line. And and so I have talked to other parents, and they were hurt that they weren't the first parent told, and I haven't had that problem. But there is, and I just want to throw this out for you and I, there is a period of mourning.
Yes, there is.
Because one day, you know, something significant changed, and what I had, I no longer have. And it was important to me, and I think I only said a couple of dumb douchebag things, you know, because I am what I am. And when you're arguing with your kids, sometimes dumb falls out. But for the most part, I kept all of that shit to myself because that was my burden to carry, you know. And so my ex and I, from time to time, would talk about our feelings with each other when the kids weren't around, you know, we're out in a car or something. And that was where that was permissible to me. Otherwise.
Yep. Yeah. Container moments.
Yeah.
Where you're able to express or exchange what you're really feeling, but the other person has to be in a place where they understand that it could be a difficult conversation. You know, I guess I'm getting on to other things, but that the communication is everything. And yeah. I think I wasn't so much invested in my first, you know, being a man, a boy, and all that. I knew that they were going to be what they're going to be, whatever that was going to be. It is a shift. And I have to remind myself, I need to be in present and in the moment and conscious about it. And it's been easier for me than I thought. And the great thing about it is my, the extended family.
Yeah.
My wife's family is just wonderful. Everybody's accepted. All the kids, this is no issue for the kids at all. Nothing at all.
Right.
For my family, and I come from a very broad Catholic family. I've got 7 sisters. I got to get another brother. Immediately, I had immediate acceptance. So it's just absolutely no problem. Of course, most of them are on the East Coast, so we don't always see each other. Those are important things.
Yeah,
acceptance is an important word. Acceptance in love, acceptance in friendship, acceptance who you are.
Yeah.
Sounds like a simple word, but it is everything.
Well, in ours, it's I had a little trouble with my parents at first, you know, and I remember I sent a letter to my mother and I CC'd my sister and she understood why. I didn't want my mom to, she was the one I was the most worried about. And I didn't want her to feel singled out by my ultimatums, which was either accept this for what it is or accept that I'm no longer part of your life and neither are my children. And that was heavy and harsh, but we were coming into the holidays and Matt still hadn't told my folks and he thought he wanted to. And I'm like, I can't let this wait. I can't let this just drop on you know, an old person with no fucking warning. And so I put together articles and links and this whole thing and was like, this is the way it is. Matt is Matt. And if you can't call him Matt and you can't accept him as who he is, then, you know, I'm sorry, we're going to have to terminate our relationship, especially the one between you and my kids. And then with my dad didn't get it near as soft, to be honest. I basically went, here's what's going on. And, you know, my demand is you treat my kid with the respect and love that you've always had, because there's no reason not to. And dad slips every once in a while. And mom did slip for a little while, but then has wrapped her head around it. And these are both very religious people that are part of a religion that has told them not to behave nicely and to ostracize, you know? And so I look at that from a step back and I go, well, you know, this has been difficult for them too, because they're fighting the muscle memory of religion, you know, that dark stain. And I mean, cause you want to be religious, be religious. I don't care. It's when you're knocking on my door, this atheist gets a little pissy, you know, and that's just how it is. And it's just, I mean, I had a guy in the store the other day that was talking shit on transgender people and he and I had been super friendly and, you know, and it was just like, dude, I got a transgender kid, you know, and it changed the tone of the argument. I don't think I convinced him of anything, but it was just more like, you never know. You never know. Mm-hmm. We stopped making jokes, transgender jokes on the fucking show after I heard Lorraine Cox give a speech. And you know, and you put all that together and that was before Matt came out to me. You know, when I heard statistics and terrifying stats and was scared shitless and realized that I was part of the problem. We did one whole show that took me 45 minutes to explain what was happening. And then at the end, it was all no more, you know, Ann Coulter jokes. No more. She's a terrible person and we can rag on her for being just awful.
A terrible person. But just for being a terrible person.
She's not brave enough to be transgender. You know, she's not.
She's not even brave enough to be her authentic self.
I don't know, man. I think that is her authentic self. So. On my end,
I mean, you're on your end this year. What is the one thing that has happened that has significantly shifted the plates?
I quit smoking.
You quit smoking.
I have been smoking since I was 12 years old.
Holy God.
I am now 46 years old. And
oh my God.
I'm just like, it was two things. One, I was broke as shit, but I have always managed throughout my life, no matter how broke I am, to find smoke money. And this time, instead of smokes, I bought this little piece of shit vape stick. And, you know, I got to admit, I'm spending a little more time with it than I thought I would. but, you know,
you need to graduate out. So you need to find some kind of help.
Yeah, I'll go with this one. I'll go with a little smaller one. But it's been almost a month now. And the pull, the supernatural pull to get me out in the car with a smoke. I miss the shit out of it first thing in the morning. I'm getting to the point now where I don't care when I'm driving, and driving was the hardest part, but that first one, that one with the second cup of coffee, you know, That's the one I missed. That was the one that was life affirming. That was the one that let me know everything was going to be okay for the rest of the day. I don't know why, you know, but
it just is.
But since I was 12, and I quit a couple of times in high school just because I was on swim team or water polo and needed the extra oxygen. And then as soon as I was out of high school, man, it didn't matter what I did. I was always smoking. And you know, for at least 8 or 9 years, I was 2 packs a day.
Wow.
And then went down to 1 and tried to keep it at 1 pack a day for several more years. And then quit for a little while with Chantix, and that fucked me up. And I was smoking again in 4 or 5 months. And then, you know, with that one, it was a pack every 2-3 days. And this time it's none for a month. And that's without pills, without, you know, anything like that. So it's huge for me. My kids seem pretty happy about it because they haven't busted my balls for years. You know,
I remember my parents, especially my mom, smoked for a long time, and we got on her and she quit at 47. Mm-hmm. And I remember she just had that unique will to be able to, you know, turn it off and do it. Maybe she compartmentalized. I know that this is a really addictive, you know, difficult thing.
Sure.
When you've been doing it this long. I've got a sister, she's in her mid-60s. She started smoking when she was 16, maybe 15.
Yep.
Oh, God, she won't stop. There's nothing I can do to stop her. So there's
that. I gotta do it, man. If my kids begging me to quit didn't make me quit, nothing was going to but me. I mean, that's really where it is, because every other right. fucking thing those kids have asked for, if it is within my power, I have done, except this one thing. And now I'm doing that one thing, and it was just a timely day to run out of fucking money, you know, and it was another week before I had enough to even think about a pack of smokes, you know, and I just kept not doing it. You know, and I got to admit, I'm wondering where the fuck my parade is, but, you know.
Well, you have a parade right here.
Thanks, buddy.
Indeed, you do.
I appreciate it. So.
Yes.
So, I'm going to kick my feet back down. Well, here we've gone another 20, chatting about ourselves.
We've blown the press. This is great. This is really important. And you know, if people do, you know, happen to feel, you know, that... You know, you want to talk about the issues that really matter to you. And I think that stopping smoking is probably really damn life affirming, you know, because you not only are hearing what other people out there are saying to you, but there's always the addressing of that one nagging thing that's always gone on for a really long time.
Yeah, I smell bad and I hate that.
Oh,
I mean, how I will probably get cancer from Febreze. You know,
I would say everybody in my I don't want to go there.
Okay. So do I have a coin handy? Yeah, I'll flip a button.
Do you have a coin handy?
I have a Planned Parenthood button, so we'll see who goes first real quick. Call it okay. In the air, heads or tails?
Heads.
It is heads. First story is yours, sir.
Excellent. Most fantastic. Well, all right. Well, then here's what we're going to do. What we're going to do is talk up, you know, the 6 top stories that we felt were really significantly important, you know, this year. And I know that, you know, year ending stories are kind of like, well, you know, if you don't look back sometimes, you may not realize that the entire town of Paradise burned down. In California,
yeah, that
if you
didn't
look
make
back and realize some of the shit that actually happened, you know, it's not just within the temporal lobe of the last 36 hours that we seem to be living in.
Well, it's the last 36 hours that are the most to bear on whether or not we live out the next week.
Indeed.
It's hard not to. So a lot of shit has happened this year. And what this triggered for me was... when you and I were talking about movies, and it's like Black Panther, you know, was this year, and it seems like it was 4 fucking years ago.
I know. And so, I know. This is crazy.
And so that gave me the idea of shit that happened this year.
Yeah. I'm very happy it happened this year. I'm very happy that, you know, I'm still evangelizing my family, and these are great, great movies. They really liked Black Panther, probably one of the most of all of the Marvel films.
It was very, very good.
We're not making a movie; we're making a film. So let's start with the first most important story. Okay, here's the one that I pulled. And it's a heartwarming story. It's a little bit different. You know, it's been a tough year, but it kind of, you know, it goes back a little ways. In fact, it may go like way back to the beginning of the year. That's heartwarming. It's throws a chill up your spine. George H.W. Bush, worried about vampires, burns down his house, police say. Daytona Beach police said George H.W. Bush's family sought to have him committed for mental health reasons on Sunday. But when police arrived around 2 p.m., George H.W. Bush was acting rationally, and police determined that he could not be voluntarily committed under the state's Baker Act, according to News4Jax.com. But by 7 p.m., George H.W. Bush grew angry and began hitting his smoke detector and breaking windows with his cane, police said. Quote, "The vampires are going to defend themselves," he shouted, according to the arrest report. George H.W. Bush then set fire to his home by throwing ceiling insulation into the stove, the report said. His wife was in the house at the time of the fire, but her whereabouts are currently unknown.
Oh, God.
So that's our first story.
Where is Barbara?
I don't know where she is, but I just thought that that was just a kind of a comforting and warm-hearted story to start.
No, it's really good, but just so you know, man, vampires do fight back. They always fight back. There's not fuck all you can do.
We've got a ton of movies to prove it.
Yeah.
So,
all right.
You, sir, what do you have?
My first story, I don't consider this the most important story. I don't consider anything that I pulled really to be the most important things that happened this year. What I'm trying to do is pull attention away from those most important, terrifying things to other bad things that have happened, because that's who I am. From June 21st, 2018, this sad bit of news, the Gorilla Foundation is sad to announce the passing of our beloved Coco.
Right.
Coco the gorilla, who was the same age as I am, died in her sleep that Tuesday morning. At birth, she was named Hanabiko, Japanese for fireworks child, because she was born at the San Francisco Zoo on the 4th of July in 1971.
Wow.
She was a Western lowland gorilla. Her impact has been profound, and what she's taught us about the emotional capacity of gorillas and their cognitive abilities will continue to shape the world, the Gorilla Foundation said. Throughout her life, Coco's abilities made headlines. After she began communicating with humans with American Sign Language, she was featured by National Geographic, and she took her own picture in a mirror for the magazine's cover. I think one of the most... Mr. Rogers met Coco?
Yeah, that's right.
And Robin Williams met Coco. And both of those videos are... In context now, in current context, modern context, heartbreaking.
They're heartbreaking. And wasn't there part of the story where she was able to communicate thoughts and ideas?
Famously, Coco felt quite sad in 1984 when her adopted kitten Ball was hit by a car and died. The non-human primate grief mediated through language in historical footage. One of the scientists is seen talking to Coco. What happened to Ball? In reply, Coco uttered these signs in sequence. Cat, cry, have sorry, Coco, love. And then after a pause, two more signs. Unattention, visit me. It's...
Wow. These are sentient creatures.
They really are.
They all are.
Yep. She learned to play the recorder. Because apparently one scientist was mad at the other ones. The recorder is an awful instrument. So that's my first, let's call that my first story of things that happened, significant things that happened here in 2018.
Indeed. And my number two, and since we're doing the same thing over and over again, maybe I should cut that out entirely. Okay. The second most important one for me that stood out on its own in a very Titanic kind of way. Woman found out the hard way that 911 does not arrange Uber rides. NRA spokesmonster Dana Loesch of Riviera Beach apparently hadn't fully figured out how the Uber ride-sharing app works. According to the Palm Beach County Sheriff's Office, Loesch misused the 911 emergency system in November when she called police to ask them to help her arrange an Uber ride. Then once inside the driver's car, she called 911 again to ask for water, and that's when officers had enough. Or did they?
Seriously?
Of course not. The formula are names of horrible people.
Yeah.
Mashed up with Florida man stories.
All right. I'll take it. I like your premise.
Because frankly, it's a shit year. So what the fuck difference does it make?
They're making shit up. Why can't you?
We can make up shit about them. Why not?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What's wrong with that?
All right, my second story. Linda Brown, who was at the center of Brown versus the Board of Education, died in March of this year.
Wow.
She was, as a schoolgirl, was at the center of the landmark Supreme Court case that rejected racial segregation of American schools. She died in Topeka, Kansas, on a Sunday at 76 years old. The 1954 U.S. Supreme Court case, Brown versus Board of Education, involved several families all trying to dismantle decades of federal education laws that condoned segregated schools for black and white students. But it began with Brown's father, Oliver, who tried to enroll her at Sumner School, an all-white elementary school in Topeka, just a few blocks from their house. The school board prohibited Linda Brown from enrolling, and Oliver Brown, an assistant pastor at the St. John's African Methodist Episcopalian Church. That's a mouthful. Was pretty pissed off that his daughter had to be shuttled miles away to go to school. So we partnered up with the NAACP and a dozen other plaintiffs to file a lawsuit against the Topeka Board of Education. By 1952, the Supreme Court had on its docket similar cases from Delaware, D.C., South Carolina, and Virginia, and they all challenged the constitutionality of racial segregation in public schools. It was just a couple of years later that the court unanimously ruled to strike down the doctrine of separate but equal. The justices that agreed that it denied 14th Amendment guarantees of equal protection under the law. She was...
And changed history.
Well...
And then there are places in the United States, even into the 70s and beyond, like in Boston, where integrated schooling was somehow very difficult for people for some reason.
Yeah, it was really hard, huh?
Oh, God, I don't know.
I mean, what do you expect me to do? Because they talk with their teeth clenched.
That was an amazing... I mean, think about that. Think about the courage it had to take. Think about the courage it took to be able to do that and just say, I'm pissed. I'm not going to tolerate this. I'm not going to have my kid shipped halfway across town to go to a school.
Well, think of the...
She can just go to this one right here.
Think of the...
Who the hell are these people?
Just the brass balls on the guy, you know, that... And I mean this in a positive way, who really did understand what he was doing and the danger that he was putting his kid in to try and make the world a better place for his kid. It's a lot of what I rationalize, you know, folks coming out of Central America up here is they're just trying to find a better way for themselves and their families. I would do the same. If I woke up tomorrow and I was a father of a couple of kids in fucking Honduras, you bet your ass I would start walking to America. I've been to Honduras. It's a shithole. You know, highest murder rate per capita in the world. And you know why Central America is such a piece of shit? Because we fucking broke it. America did.
Yes, we did.
Decades of the Cold War just fucking around down there. So, you know, you've got Oliver Brown, you know, and Oliver Brown... Oliver Brown was one of those people. You know, the only one I think of is the marriage equality stuff that came through with Mark Lawrence having put together the legal team, you know, that took on the two couples that wanted to marry out of Utah, and pushed that when people were telling him not to. Wait, they kept saying. People in the LGBTQ community who were like, don't rock the boat right now. We're just barely getting, you know, hate crimes legislation talked about without laughter. And he's like, no, fuck it. This is what I'm doing. And he pushed forward with it. And the next thing you know, as Utah goes, so goes the rest of the country, which is one of the reasons why I think that the Republicans are fucking around with our marijuana, our medical marijuana law. Is they know that once Utah adopts something, everybody else is coming along for the ride because Utah, you know,
is probably the most reluctant to change.
One of them. It's us, Idaho, and Texas.
The daddy state.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't call it the nanny state. I call it the daddy state. The patriarchal.
You know what I mean?
The Mormon church.
Yeah, I caught you. I understood what you were talking about.
to go from that to the third third story. Here we go. Fox talking head Tommy Lahren dumps 70 gallons of human waste on the road. Communication between vigilant members and neighbors led to an arrest for illegal dumping in their community. Only 2 days after the incident occurred, Tommy Lahren of Fox was arrested on October 22nd for dumping approximately 70 gallons of human waste onto a roadway in Punta Gorda. Yes. Charlotte County deputies responded after receiving a call about a large amount of human waste in the road. It wasn't Tony, or was it?
How?
The deputy observed two dump locations approximately 100 yards apart and each with a 35-gallon red tote tipped over at the spill location. Based on the findings of the investigation and the fact that the suspect, Lahren, made no efforts to remove, clean, or report the dumped waste, she was arrested and charged with two counts of littering over 500 pounds commercial or hazardous waste. Or did she?
I have questions. I have so many questions.
Go ahead.
Look, I've had some bad days after, you know, not being thoughtful enough to stay away from Taco Bell. Trust me. But
that story's later.
How do you make that much poo? How do you make 35 pounds of poo? Are you pooping in the red thing that often? Are you waiting to fill it up? I mean, that's a lot of poo. And she did it with two 35-gallon buckets.
Yes.
That's a lot of human waste. And number two, my next question, my follow-up question.
Yes.
How did people know it was human waste? Turds are turds. What amateur CSI happened to make people go, huh, this here's human waste?
Yes, because a very alert sheriff was reported to have said, it smells like Chick-fil-A. Yes. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen.
And there,
we'll be here all night.
In one punchline, you answered all my questions.
That's all we really need
to
do.
You just load up a 35-gallon bucket of Chick-fil-A and call it human waste, and that's doing it a favor.
Maybe the human waste was from Chick-fil-A. We don't know where it could have been. A trailer park. It could have been, you know, like siphoned off of Fox News. We just don't know. I mean, did this happen or didn't it? We don't know, but it's out there. But sir, your third story.
Oh, is that where we're on my third story already?
Yeah, are we doing six? We're doing six, right?
Yeah, we're doing six.
Oh, okay.
Convert or be destroyed. A Wisconsin lawmaker has told his constituents who are not Christian to join him and his fellow Christians and convert to Christianity or be destroyed.
Nice.
Wisconsin State Rep Scott Allen, Republican, no shit.
No kidding.
Speaks of Christian love while telling non-Christians they will be destroyed in an obnoxious and condescending YouTube video posted on the official Wisconsin Assembly Republicans YouTube channel earlier this very month. In the video, a patronizing and smug Allen uses a Bible verse to suggest non-Christians will be destroyed. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. My friends, he says, we will attain peace through love. This season, think of how you can love the people in your life, family, friends, neighbors, just a little bit more. I'm with him so far.
Mm.
Encourage them. Fellowship with them. I don't know what that means, but I think it's
buggery.
You know,
you use that a lot.
Is it buggery? Is that,
ask Frodo and Sam. I don't know.
Yeah. Is that, I'm going to fellowship the shit out of you.
Fellowship. I'm going to fellowship the shit out of this relationship.
Yeah. I'm going to fellowship right in the cornhole. Our world needs more love and more peace. I'm still with them, with the exception of the fellowship one, because I don't know what that is yet.
Yeah, I don't know what that is.
We do our part to make this world a more peaceful place by being more loving in our relationships. We gain strength through love, he says, to which I am still kind of on board a little bit. And then to finish off, he says, Hebrews 10 concludes, we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who believe and are saved. Merry Christmas, motherfuckers. Oh, I'm sorry. I read that wrong. He just said Merry Christmas.
And then he responded. I think he gave it up when he went full Yosemite.
I invite you to join my religion before you are destroyed. What a douche.
This isn't working anymore for them, is it?
And he's got head shaped like a penis. Of course he does.
His head is shaped like a penis. It is?
He is a dickhead. Yes, he is. Of course he is. He's funny looking and he's got expensive glasses on. What a douche.
Oh, my God. Glasses? Even better.
I sure do miss back when the Christians were all a bunch of different little sects all piss fighting with one another. This whole weird thing they're doing now where they're all on the same goddamn team has just made them lunatics. Loco.
I don't know. I mean, it's almost as if they well, you know, let's put more Christ into Christianity, shall we, first of all, to begin with, even before you get started.
More and Christ, nothing less Christian. Has
anything. You worship a false idol. You worship Trump. You worship power. You don't worship anything Jesus talks about.
Yep. Okay, we should take a break now.
We should take a break.
Yeah, let's do that.
And if that's the case, then let's do the break music.
Okay.
Chucklehead, let me ask you a question. When you went to college, they made you pay for it, right? Higher education costs something. It's not free. But here you are, listening to the shows on the Defenestrate Media Broadcast Network, receiving a higher education than you can get in the Ivy League, and you're listening to it all for free. The Left Show, Hold 322, you're listening to all those for nothing. Do us all a favor, freeloader. Head over to theleftshow.com and drop a few bucks with the donate button. Think about it. If these shows go away, what are you and your drum circle gonna listen to while you're making patchouli incense and painting your protest signs? Limba? Really? Get serious. TheLeftShow.com. Do the right thing for the left wing.
What do you miss when you miss The Left Show?
I don't think we'll have a Republican Party, but I think what replaces it will be worse. Because what's replaced the Democratic Party is not better. This is not the party of Kennedy.
No.
This isn't even the party of Johnson. And
we were talking. Clinton took the party in a different direction.
And it wasn't even a bad direction.
It wasn't a bad direction.
But because of the middle of the road shit Clinton did, look, the only way we knew Clinton was a real Democrat was because of all the shit that happened at the end.
It wasn't because he got a blowjob. It was because he got a blowjob from a girl. That's why we know he's a Republican. That's why we know. That was the bottom line.
Fresh episodes every Monday on iTunes, Stitcher, and theleftshow.com.
There are are 10 jillion podcasts in this crazy world, but there is only one that serves a fresh pot of... Hi, how do you do? I'm Tom, your host of the Coffee Cast. My mission is to make it as compelling a listen as you'll find it. I'll talk about all kinds of subjects. Sometimes I'll have guests. Good stories, because people listen to what interests them. And sometimes it's the Coffee Cast. So, if you're listening as you're texting the seventh draft of a resignation message to that soon-to-be former psychopathic boss, gift shopping rotary phones for your great-great aunt, or skydiving for the first time without a parachute, whoops, welcome to the Coffee Cast. Remember, you can download a fresh Coffee Cast podcast anytime at Stitcher and iTunes, and now on demand on the Progressive Voices app and progressivevoices.com. So until the next pot gets brewed, I'll do my best to keep it fresh. The Coffee Cast Podcast.
And we're back.
And we're front.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, no, this is horrible. You see, Stewie, there are tons of actors like this. They all started out just like you, but eventually they were destroyed by their parents' greed, drugs, or perverted Hollywood directors.
Oh, like Bryan Singer.
Exactly.
Number four. Do you want me to go? Or do we hesitate? Are we still in the back and forth?
No, I think we're just still doing the back and forth. So okay. It is your turn, sir.
Number four, okay, and this is another one that really, I mean, from kindergartners to fifth graders, this really warms the heart, you know, gives you hope every morning you wake up. Yes, number four. White House political advisor Stephen Miller steals $45,000 to buy new teeth and puppy. Stephen Miller, age 33 and bald, allegedly scammed an 80-year-old man with dementia whose ID was sold on the dark web. Miller used his ill-gotten gains to purchase new teeth, including $40,000 worth of dental work. In addition to the dental work, Miller also planned to purchase a French bulldog puppy for several thousand dollars. According to a report from WFTV, Miller told the investigators that he was recruited by immigrants who urged him to have his rotted teeth replaced with pearly white implants to improve his appearance and increase his success rate in future scams. Miller's scam unraveled when his victim's caretaker noticed two large invoices from a South Florida dental clinic. Quote, I never heard about anything like that, the victim's brother Jake Miller told the media. Quote, it's kind of different. Did that happen or didn't it? It's out there. Jeff?
People are saying.
That's right. Some are saying that Stephen Miller actually stole $45,000 to buy new teeth and a puppy. We haven't seen him for a long, long time. I don't know if any dog, I think dogs would run away from him.
I got to be honest. I'd steal that much money for a dog. I wouldn't for dental work, but I sure would for a dog. Think about how many dogs and how much dog food you could buy for that much. Oh,
you'd be in doggy heaven.
I do like dogs. I'll be honest.
Dogs are wonderful.
Well, my ex and my kids are in Mexico.
Mexico still,
at
yes.
The moment. Yes, and so I have been back at the old house hanging out with my dog this week. And it has been, and I missed my dog a lot.
Sure.
Like I hugged him.
This is you.
I hugged him too hard today.
Nah.
You know, and he made the little noise and then I let go of him and he just cuddled up a little bit more. It was nice. Now I'm making myself sad. So how about some more bad news?
More.
I got more. I can do more. The VA did not spend millions of dollars meant for veteran suicide prevention. They did not. Veterans Affairs officials failed to spend millions of dollars earmarked for veteran suicide prevention efforts in fiscal year 2018, leading to a measurable decline in outreach activity. This is according to a report from the U.S. Government Accountability Office, the GAO. Leadership turnover and reorganization since 2017 has led to a decrease in suicide prevention media activities over the past 2 years, the report has found. The agency employed no permanent national director for suicide prevention between July 2017 and 2018. April 2018. The agency employees told investigators that they were not always leadership officials available to make key decisions or run meetings related to suicide prevention outreach. The shortcomings forced staffers to shift their focus away from suicide prevention media outreach campaign and towards other mental health efforts. Suicide being the biggest killer of veterans at the moment, especially when it's...
Well, especially
as a whole.
Incoming from Afghanistan and other places around the world, or just in general, any vet.
Well, it's estimated that 20 vets die every day from suicide. I mean, more every day, but 20 a day from suicide. And the VA named suicide prevention as its highest clinical priority in 2018, while nobody put anybody in charge of that. The GAO...
We could put these billions into it. And they choose to do nothing about it. And the thing is, we send our children to war and then leave them broken when they come back. We do nothing.
Well, it's the promise of Lincoln to care for the soldier, his widow, his children.
Sure.
It's every time a Republican says something about being the party of Lincoln, it's just yet another thing where, you know, they're not. And they haven't been for quite a while.
No, they're the party of Trump.
But adding insult to injury, sometimes people use prazosin. Mm-hmm. It's a high blood pressure drug to treat PTSD.
Really?
Turns out it might actually be fueling nightmares, insomnia, and suicide risk.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Misprescribing.
Yeah, it worked for some a few people, and as happens like this sometimes. Well, it's like Wellbutrin. You know, they figured out that Wellbutrin could be used for smoking cessation by noticing how many guys with PTSD coming out of Vietnam quit smoking once they went on Wellbutrin. You know,
wow,
that was how they figured that one out. It was the military, and so, you know, this one. They're trying to find out that the prazosin helps less than it hurts. You know? And you add to that the fact that nobody has anybody to call on suicide prevention. Way to go, yep. United States. Really kicking it in the pants.
Look what
this year.
Done with the VA this year. What a flipping tragedy. What a flipping tragedy. It's just disgusting.
Yep.
And your turn. If that's not disgusting enough. Milo Yiannopoulos, arrested for DUI.
Oh, that's that. After speaking, that's that pharmacy douchebag. That's that pharmacy douchebag. No.
Milo Yiannopoulos is this self-appointed...
head of the Fourth Reich.
Yeah, well, head of the Fourth Reich, but what he does is he goes around being as incendiary as possible, even though, you know, he may... You know, say that, you know, I'm a conservative and I'm a Republican. Actually, he's from England and I'm gay. I actually am against all the things that would make my life much, much better if I wasn't a Republican. He's just a horrific set of ethics. He had gotten tripped up. Late last year or early, I don't know when he was really advocating like something similar to NAMBLA. They're just like, it's okay to have relationships with underage, you know, teens. It's just like, what, are you fucking kidding me?
Well, I hate this guy.
Okay. And so he's made this bank, you know, scamming money from the Mercers and Breitbart, you know, until this came along. And then they cut off the trust fund kid. And he's just like, I'm broke. You know, I've got to start a GoFundMe now. You know, nobody likes him. Nobody likes him at all. Milo Yiannopoulos. So he was the kind of like the, oh, this is the what? Who's some of the other up and, you know, Charlie Kirk, you know, who are some of the other D-bags, the douchebags of the conservative young movement? Oh, these are the young guns. You know, but yep. Milo shot himself right in the double foot. So Milo arrested, or was he? Or was he? It's Maybe. Out there. This is out there.
People are saying.
People are saying about this. Arrested for DUI after mistaking a bank drive-through for Taco Bell. Milo Yiannopoulos, 34, and with not much money, was arrested. Or was he? After deputies found him in the driver's seat with a car running in the bank's drive-through lane in Spring Hill. The manager of the Bank of America on Mariner Boulevard reported an impaired driver after he discovered the man unconscious behind the wheel of a sedan. The manager told Hernando County deputies that he had to beat on the window several times. I bet he liked that. Before the man finally woke up. Once awake, Yiannopoulos reportedly asked the bank manager for a burrito and a visa and then drove away after he was informed he was not at Taco Bell. Deputies arrived to find the car in the parking lot with Yiannopoulos slumped behind the wheel as it was running. Did it happen or didn't it? It's out there. And there you have it.
Okay.
These things, I have no idea. But we have to bring these out. And as heartwarming and as like illuminating as these are kind of like life lessons. So, you know, that's it. Take this what it is. Take what it is. Learn from this. So there you go.
Okay.
Sir.
So from real news, we have a senator in Utah, our current junior senator. For the next couple Mike of days, Lee. Mike Lee, pile of human garbage, a libertarian piece of shit that has advocated repealing laws that prevent child labor because he finds prohibitions against child labor unconstitutional. I'm not making that up. That is honest to God true.
I'm sure he does.
Yeah.
Do you have any kids and are any of those employed?
So this Republican senator from Utah blocked a vote. Didn't vote against, blocked a vote on a bill to grant federal recognition to Montana's Little Shell tribe of Chippewa Indians. The U.S. House passed the bill in September that would have required that the federal government set aside a small amount of land for the tribe and make its 6,000 members eligible for benefits. Mike Lee on Thursday, pile of human garbage, Republican, objected to the bill passing the bill without debate, arguing that the Bureau of Indian Affairs denied the tribe's petition for recognition in 2009. Little Shell Tribe Chairman Gerald Gray called it a disheartening outcome because when you talk to the press, you don't get to say, "Oh, Mike Lee, he's a human pile of garbage," but I can. If the bill doesn't pass the Senate by the end of this year, which it won't, it'll have to be reintroduced in the next Congress and will have to fight its way through the House and the Senate again. All three members of Montana's congressional delegation support the bill, and the state of Montana recognized the tribe almost 20 fucking years ago. But Mike fucking Lee, human pile of garbage, has decided that he knows best. He is a white guy.
Mm-hmm.
With quite money,
white. Quite white with money,
and a member of the dominant religion in the area where he grew up. This is a man who has never known hardship. He thinks he has. He thinks he's suffered, but he's the kind of guy that screams that taxes are unconstitutional while he drinks my clean fucking water and he drives on my fucking roads and he enjoys my fucking electrical grid that he won't fund the fixing of. All of this, these socialist projects that we have had over the decades, you know, in the centuries of America's evolution, this is the douchebag that says that they're unconstitutional while he continues to use them. And it's funny to me with libertarians how loudly they do shout about taxes now that they do have roads and clean water you know, in sewer facilities.
Because they wouldn't have it if there weren't taxes to build them to begin with.
We'd still be living in fucking mud huts, man.
Right.
We'd still be driving on dirt roads.
It's just detached from reality.
Yeah. These are the guys that want to get rid of the Department of Education. These are the guys that want to get rid of the Food and Drug Administration, which, however flawed an organization it can be when it is underfunded and overworked, still are the ones that figured out, don't eat lettuce from this farm. It will kill you. That is an important job function. You know what I mean? Now, granted, had inspectors. And
destroy the EPA.
Yeah.
Destroy Interior.
Right.
Look what they've done in Utah with the Bear's Ears Monument.
Oh, God, yeah.
Oh, God. I mean, we could just go on that. Yeah. Those fuckers.
Absolutely. They're like, no. No, we just don't want to hurt the local economies by making a national park around them. Are you fucking kidding me? That's how the parts of Utah that do the best have national and large famous state parks in them. It is the counties that don't have those here that for the most part suffer, outside of Salt Lake County, which has, you know, fuck all, other just some really beautiful fucking mountains. But I mean, that's just what it is we are a tourist state, and you want to get rid of the billions of dollars that come in here in what I have always called free money. It is money that people bring with them and leave behind when they go. It's the best kind of money to run an economy on, is somebody else's money. And we do that here. And we make less and less the more and more Republicans run the show and open these areas up for exploration in drilling and mining, as they continue to dump fucking housing developments on top of land that absolutely should be kept, as stated by Theodore Roosevelt, as pristine for the next generation.
Exactly.
But no, they're too worried about whether or not 10 guys in this fucking state make money.
And those 10 guys just happen to own a lot of oil.
Yep.
And a lot of oil drilling equipment.
So my question is why did Montana need fucking Utah to put a kibosh on this bill? I don't get it. I mean, once upon a time, I don't get it.
That's a good question. That's a really good question. I'd like to dig into that and find out a little bit more.
Yeah. I'll send you the link.
There's no reason for that. That doesn't make any sense.
Nope. Well, it does. It does make sense when you go, oh, it's Mike Lee. He is a stinking, fetid pile of human garbage. That's when it makes sense.
A rotted waste. And with that in mind.
Yeah.
Number 6. The Duggars tried to purchase a hot dog with cannabis. Or did they? On December 9, 2018, Summerfield resident overgrown Christian family of the Duggars were arrested at a Circle K after Jim Bob Duggar tried to trade a napkin full of cannabis for a hot dog.
Things ought to miss at the Circle K.
Or just a hot dog. Jim Bob offered the substance to an employee in exchange for the snack. And when the employee took the illicit plant and then called 911, when authorities arrived, the entire Duggar family, all 87 of them, denied the allegation. They were ultimately charged with selling and distributing marijuana by the police. They're expected to be released on early parole in 2026, ladies and gentlemen. Did it happen? I don't know.
Somebody tried to sell a whole plant.
Somebody tried one to hot purchase dog? A hot dog with cannabis. It was a Circle K.
Circle K's are still a thing?
Yeah, in the South.
Oh, we
used to. Yeah, Circle K's are around, sure.
We used to have them here. We don't anymore.
Like Piggly Wiggly. Piggly Wiggly is a South thing, though.
Definitely. Definitely a South thing. No, Circle K, the only real fond memory I have of Circle K, other than there used to be one in American Fork that I used to ride my skateboard by when I went to visit a girl named Becca in my early teens. Becca could drive. She had one of those two-door Buicks, you know, a little barrio wagon. And we used to go to the Circle K. I would shoplift cigarettes because I was 14.
Lucky Strikes?
Nah, man. I smoked Camel filters.
Camels. Oh, my God.
I smoked Camels.
Wow.
I smoked Camels and then Camel Reds and then Camel Filters and then Camel Turkish Gold for a while.
Oh, my God.
And then, yeah, dude, it's, you know what? I am a brand guy. If your advertising hooks me, I stay hooked. And then I switched over after the Chantix debacle to American Spirits because, and I shit you not, and I realize how dumb it sounds, but the Camels that I had smoked most of my life were making me cough when I was trying to record and talk. And so I needed to go for a smoother, organic cigarette. And it worked. Now I have voice fatigue quite often from, I guess, whatever whatever healing's going on. I mean, you can definitely...
It may be for a while. I mean, how long now have you been doing it?
A little over 3 weeks.
3 weeks. Yeah, it's going to take some time, but you've made the start. Huh? Your body's going to cleanse itself and, you know, it's... Yeah, you've begun. You've begun the journey, and that there's always the collateral damage, you know, that you're... Well, actually, the collateral experience is you're walking out of that tunnel.
Well, you can hear. I mean, now, you know, I'm raspy, and we've barely done an hour.
I think you're a lot less raspy than you were a couple of months ago.
Yeah, I'll go with that.
I think so. Me, I've just got some persistent tickle in the back. So if I'm trying to read a long piece, I'm learning how to do it without my mouth gets wet. And so I'm trying to, how do you swallow and say stuff? So you're supposed to take your head and put it to the side of the mic and then you gulp and then you head back to the mic and you say another line. And then all of a sudden there's this tickle in the back of your throat. You just got to pot it down for a second and cough, put it back up again. And it's just a fucking nightmare like the Duggars.
I like that 87 of them. That was pretty funny.
You know, they can't have a Christmas tree. I might be getting onto them right now, but they have to have a banner in the living room that says, "Happy birthday, Jesus." You can't have a, if you're in the Duggars, you know.
There's not enough room to move around.
The house they live in or anything is like really big. It's like a huge, huge place in the middle of Arkansas or something. You know, it's just like, it's like identifiable. Anyway, there you have it. I mean, did it happen or didn't? I don't know. I don't know. But we're here to tell you this for that simple reason.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. My sixth story is one of a better note. Of a higher caliber, of a more optimistic future. Stevens College in Missouri is America's second oldest all-women's college, and it will begin accepting transgender students next year.
Oh, fantastic. That's great.
The college's undergraduate residential women's program will continue to admit and enroll students who are women and who live as women, just as it always has, the new policy says. It will also admit and enroll students who were not born female, but who identify and live as women. Those students will need to provide legal documentation that they are legally women or that they are transitioning. The college said it has expanded its definition of womanhood to include both sex and gender. This is a big deal. This, it going back to how we started the show, this is a big deal. This is one of those things where we see institutional change. And in this case, in a very old, you know, institution.
Indeed, a very old place. Yes. But you will be surprised that in some places, in the places you would least expect it, you'll be surprised.
Yep.
And I don't know how Barack Obama can be, you know, I mean, he'll come out and he'll say, "I've never been more optimistic about our future after looking after the, you know, the past history." I don't know how he does it. You know, I know that there are things that the human experience will surprise you. Don't count people out. When things are dark at the darkest, things will happen. Things will surprise you.
You know, I'm going to take small exception with you know, with what you're saying, because I want to do that. I want to be that guy. But to quote, okay, to paraphrase Men in Black, you know, persons are smart. People are stupid. You know, because it was people that elected Donald Trump, and it was persons that fought against that.
That's what I'm saying. Very stupid people.
Yeah, you put people, you put persons into a group, they become people, and people are easily swayed. Mob mentality is a cancer on the American experience. Well, the human experience, let's be honest, let's give it where it goes. You know, Tiffany was watching fucking Hotel Rwanda the other day, and you know, it's just like that. It was people. That was people being stupid, and they were being stupid in a way that murdered a lot of fucking people. You know, so it's
tribalism, well held back for a long, long time, then erupted and triggered by people with power, with transmission capability, goading, guiding people to murder.
Well, it's one of the things we found out this year is that Steve Bannon and a bunch of his weird wackadoodle fucking Christian types are running around the third world trying to spark up Christian slaughter against non-Christians. You know, that they're working worldwide, and especially in the Eastern Bloc, the old Eastern Bloc, you know, on anti-LGBT shit. You know, I mean, that was
Look at the pastor that went to what was Kenya or something, and then from America, and then started triggering anti-gay, anti-LGBT legislation in what was it? Was it in Kenya? I believe it was. Or I mean, there's an example of somebody who has no fucking business of being in another country and stirring up hate and genocide. And there it is, right there.
It's a problem I've had with the phrase common sense for years. Common sense is not good. Common sense is mob mentality. Common sense is dangerous because the common sense of something can be wrong. You know, common sense says don't put your hand in fire. Okay, common sense can also be like the common sense of anti-Semitism in Germany led to the conditions that allowed a Holocaust. The common sense of Israel in what it considers its birthright leads to, you know, one atrocity after another across the Gaza or into Palestine. You know, sometimes common sense, the common sense of being picked on by the government, even though it was Republicans that have been doing the picking on, led enough electorals in America to vote for the biggest dipshit to ever hold office. And I say that as a guy who has been with Republicans in Utah and knows a dipshit when he sees one. This guy's the biggest. And I got some huge ones here.
Sure. Look at Orrin Hatch.
So, yeah, people are fine. You know, persons are fine. People are stupid.
Well, from a person who has obviously inspired your life and inspires your imagination and the work that you're involved in.
Stan Lee?
Star Trek was an attempt to say that humanity will reach maturity and wisdom on the day that it begins not just to tolerate, but to take a special delight in the difference in ideas and differences in life forms. If we cannot learn to actually enjoy those small differences, to take a positive delight in those small differences between our own kind here, then we don't deserve to go out into space and meet the diversity that is almost certainly out there. Gene Roddenberry, who claimed not just that Star Trek was wagon train to the stars, but said, I mean, in so few words, and these weren't his words, but don't bet against humanity. And that is, to me, the positive message of what Star Trek, or the evangel of Star Trek, to me is.
Leave any bigotry in your quarters.
So what?
Leave any bigotry in your quarters. There's no room for it on the bridge. That's Kirk to Lieutenant Stiles basically saying, I understand that you're a bigot. Keep it in your pants, dummy. Because you can't.
One, Mr. Sulu.
Sometimes you just can't change human nature, man. You know, that's part of the problem. Is it's like you're not born racist, but boy, howdy,
carefully educated.
Yeah, it sure is easy to get that stuck in kids' heads because kids are dumb.
So
you put you put two toddlers of any race or color in a room together, and there's a pretty good chance, as long as one of them's not a fucking inbred biter, that they're going to get along. You know, they're going to see someone of an equal size, and they're going to go over and they're going to goof off. It's why black labs and golden retrievers play well together, because they notice what they look like and they don't give a shit. It's just another dog. That's just all this is we all bleed the same color. We all have the same looking guts on the inside. We have a little bit of pigment changes based on how hot the sun was where our ancestors grew up. And it's true. Just, oh my God. It's just fucked up. The world.
And the most amazing thing to the most hateful bigot, the very DNA that's inside you is inside everybody else that originated in the home continent of Africa, where everyone and where that initially where humanity evolved from. And that to me is like the greatest irony. So you bigots, go stuff it.
Now I'm just thinking about Kirk.
I mean, what would Kirk do?
I'm running out of living heroes, man.
I know.
You know, I mean, that's
heroes are made after they're dead. I mean, don't try to, you know.
I get it. And you've got
virus while they're alive, but they may disappoint us. Heroes will disappoint us. Wait until they're dead, and then we can clean up the residue, perhaps.
Yeah, I mean, everything that Shatner's going to be a little more difficult to canonize than Stanley.
Oh, Stan. I mean, my God. I mean, look what Stan stood for and what Stan did.
His anti-racial, anti-bigotry stances in the pages of Marvel Comics were huge at the time. The fact that the Black Panther as a superhero predates the Black Panthers as a political organization is telling to just what kind of a guy he was and what he was on the inside. And you got people that hang around comics in the comics industry that want to throw Stan under the bus because he made better deals and had actual lawyers look at contracts, and, you know, Kirby and Ditko didn't. They just wanted to fucking work and get paid, and he's just, you know.
No, it's got to be more than that.
Yep.
Stan, you just can't like come in here and punch a clock. You know, it's like what Sol Bassett said, we're responsible for the visual culture. We're responsible for the education and the culture of the people who read this. The dreamers, the people, you know, what do we want to represent?
Yeah.
So a perfect example of like preemptively like doing this is the former, you know, Senator Ted Stevens from Alaska. They named the airport in Anchorage Ted Stevens International Airport. This is why he was still alive. Uh-huh. And then he got involved in either he was defeated or stepped down. He was in a federal corruption trial while he was like running for the Senate. He was initially found guilty, you know, and then lost a seat. And the thing to me is, it's like, wait until person has passed. Don't canonize the living. Let the living live and make their mistakes and make their successes. Don't just let them be human.
We are all, each and every one of us, just a bucket full of fuck up.
This is our message for 2019.
Bucket full of fuck up.
Be a bucket of fuck up. That's something you're going to see. That's something you're definitely going to see on CNN New Year's Eve.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Like, look at the 2019. You're bucket of fuck up.
It'll be Anderson Cooper stealing our bit.
God, I swear. So I certainly hope a few good things happen. It just needs to be a few things.
Don't let me down, but Nancy Pelosi. I'm counting on you.
They're coming out swinging the bat.
They better be.
On the third.
They better be. Well, I think that's it for 2018, brother.
That's about all that I can stand.
Yeah, me too.
I love you, man. And it's been a great series of shows. So let's keep doing this.
I am with you. We are on our 1 year after the death of Jesus show. This is our 34th roast.
The death of Jesus. Indeed, we are. And really, everybody, thank you for listening.
Thank you very much.
It means a lot to us. We really appreciate it. So without further ado, shall we?
Yep.
Okay, first of all, nobody gives a shit about stealing other people's music, okay? Everybody involved in the music industry is either stealing or sharing it. They're all a bunch of assholes, especially Radiohead. Look, no. Richard, yeah, they're assholes.
Should old acquaintance be forgot and never brought to mind? Should old acquaintance be forgot and days of old lang syne?
Of kindness yet for old lang syne.